although it was lifeless in the beginning, at that time the Unbound believed they were winning. There was only absolute darkness until Shairi the Unbound created a shard. It spewed forth a new life that was brittle and hard. The shardling's crystal skin, aphanite crystals locked within, until the Unbound moored from clay, a replacement to this life, Morgana would say. Yours is inferior, a relic. Mine can create life from the tree. Test the Scala, shall see. But Ascala refused, knowing the havoc it would be, until she died and Sundari destroyed half the world tree. It fell into the Sea of Souls, soaking up the ether, creating life, making worlds holes. Sundari relented, sensing their lie. He cast himself from heaven, but did not die. He lay now beneath the abyss, mocking and jeering the Unbound and taking the piss. The lights of the astral realm yet dormant lie in unreasoning darkness as Shairi the Unbound die. An explosion of light from demon's corp let forth light as her body reanimated, convulsing, a final fight. Millions of astrali were born, light from dark was then torn, creating a celestial plane, a living world of light in her veins. Her corpse was the astral realm, you see. Darkness would always return to light, as she could be. The abyss is an interdimensional plane, both simultaneously above and below. It could drive you insane. The heavens themselves are an astral realm, bright lights beckoning, warriors in helm. The list of the astrali, or angels as they are known, is a peculiar thing to which many have flown. Okay, so I had an idea. This doesn't count, I swear. It's the last one. Interweaving branches click as they connect each branch thick, with many leaves each containing worlds. There was one as black as night and rarer than a pearl. Janira it was named, and the star shot straight through that leaf, as another world, Castine, stole the galaxy's leaf's essence much like a thief. Energy flowed between the stalks as a new world, Necropolis, unfurled. When Ascala Ashavale was murdered by Sinvela, one of the Unbound, as well as Kiamu, the man that had created them, Sundari Ashavale grieved. In his grief, he created not only a new world, but a new race. Upon doing as he was deemed told, or ordered to, I should say, by the rest of the Unbound, he created worlds in leaves. To do this, he destroyed the world tree. Half of it fell into the Sea of Souls. However, as that half absorbed the roots, absorbed the souls from the Sea of Souls, they drew up the roots. Drawing up the roots, they were absorbed by the rest of the world tree, the second half, because it was split down the middle. As the souls sprouted up the world tree, they began to form leaves. These worlds and leaves would later be known as the realms. Demons, you see, came about later, much later. The world tree leaked a black pus, and ash fell into it. Demons were merely a wound, an antibody given to repairing the world tree. Each soul taken from a human life and brought back to the tree would restore that tree, part of the tree. If all the souls were taken, the tree could be restored. However, because the tree was so badly damaged and half of it was in the Sea of Souls, When the souls returned to the sea, they were merely absorbed, the waters of the souls leaking into the tree again, thus restarting the whole cycle. Demons wage a never-ending war to repair the tree,
bringing back human lives like antibodies they are. But it's all pointless. Life will always begin again, because with life there is hope. Azuravain, or rather, Sundari Ashuvale, when he landed to the earth, he took on a new name, Azuravain, and became the god that reigned under the world. He now fights a secret war against the 13 Unbound. I say 13 because, yes, Kiamu was killed, but he came back with a vengeance, as a hungerer. He now seeks to destroy not only his brothers, but his own creation. He is known as the Dark Viri Destroyer. Whereas the other 12 Unbound reside currently in unknown whereabouts. Demons grew tired of the Astral Eye herding them like cattle, and so created the Aether to do battle. A realm compromised of souls like sea, it created an endless army. Each blade of grass was a see-through green, the colour of souls to the Kaplavan, as it is seen. The buildings, the creatures, and even the sky, this realm, the Astral Eye, would come to die. I sit upon my throne of polished black marble, giving knight's orders, my voice a garble. The white marble floor polished to perfection. In my pristine kingdom here, there can be no election. Few call me a tyrant, the ones that do disappear. I wonder if anything can be so clear. I am my kingdom's brightest wolf, my blackened armor, my chain coif. I strut down the red carpet, I only see what I wish, as the cook brings out my latest dish. I have my wife sample it, for if it is poison she can spit. My ruthless efficiency, no one can depend on me. I am he which no sword strikes, the heads of my enemies rot on spikes. Few can see the lonely king, trumpets sound over war's din. Calafrax does not spit this day, I wish and hope and pray. I've seen the look in her eye, to me I know she does despise. My son grows older as I grow colder. I know one day I will have to scold her. I move between my son and wife, taking out my dartlet knife. In my kingdom there can be no strife, a demon I call him as I take his life. Calafrax in anger, she will not obey, I have no place for prisoners today. But my men, my puppets, do not move to aid me, they are ready to betray me. Throughout this ordeal one thing has kept me sane, my utterly incomprehensible disdain. You see, my son was too soft to rule in my stead, but his mother, for whom I have filled visions of red, will keep the empire alive long after I'm dead. I grow old and weak, no passion for the tithe, too much a coward to take my own life. I formulated a plan, you see, for the future of my realm. I will split the empire one last time, I shall wear my battle helm. As I dive into battle with my wife once more, knowing it will cost my life at war, I enter the forest of the lost to find out if it is worth the full cost. Walking through the forest of the lost. In the forest of the lost, I am brought to my knees by the whistling of the birds and the humming of the bees. In the forest of the lost, I am thrown to my knees by the running of the wildebeests as one is shot and bleeds. In the forest of the lost, I lay outstretched upon fallen leaves as the hunter looms and I begin to see. In the forest of the lost, I am given to despair as the nature of man is once again laid bare. In the forest of the lost, I have lost myself, as my son's body rots in hell. In the forest of the lost, I have found myself, the black knight coiling as I rebel. The ether tainted my boy, a demon spawn of which could hold no joy. At least that is what I believed. I wonder if Calafrax would grant me the same reprieve. Castine was haunted by the shadow of death, leaving burning corpses piled as it left. The war of the dead came too soon, for when Bruckner the Bright Wolf died, Calafrax ascended to the throne, and no nation denied. Hers was a rule of might makes right, the fixed stains of blood redeeming the night. The Blood Queen they called her, ruler on the south, as the kings and queens whispered of her savagery from their mouths. Calafrax strutted into court, all her efforts were never for naught. Her skill with an axe unparalleled that night. Her axe moved, it bit, it but it did not bite, as she slew all her guests from the kingdoms of Varadesh, declaring on all who denied her right to rule, she would make them all look fools. Brooknir's uncle was the first to die, but not his brother, he did a lie, composing songs for her he writ, using all his godlike wit. There were ballads for the ages, written down in only a handful of pages. In time, Calafrax adopted two orphan boys. She filled their room with the finest of toys. Missing her beloved son, she held the two to her breast when each day was done. Vesuvius and Malachi, each was the apple of her eye. When Vesuvius became a judge, a position of war from which he would not budge, Calafrax held out hope for Malachi that he would learn where others died. For this one hope she did yearn, to never repeat the past, however history turns. Brother would kill brother upon Arabin's sands, as the setting sun did burn. Vesuvius tricked by Nasargis as an ancient game was played. Malachi, who tried to end his brother's curse, was his body then displayed. Nasargis rejoiced, the one who could kill him gone. He then returned to an evil song. But 30 years later, Vesuvius had a son. His blonde hair flickers as the morning was won. A paladin had been born. The dark judge watched over him, turning upon his brothers. A father's love more powerful than a demon's trick. He realized his mistake. It was then Vesuvius himself who he began to hate. As he swore to make right the empire built on blood, his mother's training the only way he could. He kept the boy safe, locked in his keep, as others came flocking like sheep. A light beamed in the east. Tribals came in droves to push back an empire that would destroy their hopes. Vesuvius was then elected to lead the demon war, a knight of dawn respected. Jinn tribes climbed on through the trees, the boar and raven clan, their skin a tan, washed by distant leaves. Spirit seers opened eyes, fire burned away the lies, elemental guardians of nature, acrylifia and things of nomenclature, fate brought down by Rul's spear, he calls on the others to get out of here. Maybe the goddess Sinvela will bless you, but now I walk in death's long shoe. O mother of time, I beseech thee, wake from thy slumber, and oh, please teach me. Necropolis is where you lie, imprisoned by your family, the gods. Only one daughter would look for after thee, it is Morakai of the Jinn tribes, to even the odds. A gambling favour, I would not know how later. For when the others betrayed her, Morakai went back and became her waiter. To wake her would incur her wrath, she would leave it to her staff. Necropolis of time, space, memories distort, the dead rise in the past and present war. Morakai animates the city, keeping it in motion, for when the dreaming Jinn awakens with her mother, the gods and devils alike will all learn to suffer, every brother and every sister. Sorry, yeah. The rat watches in the distance. The sand collected is a pittance, as the rat pours it over the room. I hope it is my turn soon. I try to sleep, but oh, my eyes delight. The rat burrows into my dream sight. Through flesh and open minds, I am receptive to the ties that bind. It references a land in which I will have my just dues. I beg for it to take me thus, whether I win or lose. The rat smirks a toothy grin, looks at me, and then begins. Over yonder, in distant ages, its teeth burrow in, my brain flesh tasted by the rat's maw. I am devoured once more, digesting my very thoughts. This is what the dream rats were made to do, I was taught, unto the world of dreams, as life rips apart at the seams. The world lay dying and its people rot. I beg for what I have and have not. Up is down and down is up. In this letter all I trust. Do not believe the truth they tell you, for it is altered and demons can't smell you. I step lightly into hell as I relinquish my reaper's bell. For you I will not be told, since I am born again in heaven's fold. The fairies are delighted, for they too know I have been knighted. Thank you. Nightshade was fast, deadly, swift, as she strode about the rift. The Aether was a dimension of renown. She had heard all about that, all over town. Her daggers in hand, though she needed no weapon, would become her brand. As she marched upwards to the portal, she moved carefully, not slowly, like a turtle. She swam through its emerald hue, as she entered a land in which souls did spew. The very ground was made of souls, so too the buildings, trees, and holes. In fact, everything in this world was a see-through green, except the demons that she had seen. She backflipped over free as she began a killing spree. Her family dead in the war, she would slay them by the score, until she found out, in the place of Aeria, black-like droplets which moved, all the scarier. The ground became maggots. As she tried to move, she sank, trying to ignore what stank. She pulled herself out with a hook and began to read a nearby book. As the pages reflectively opened, she began to feel chosen. Knight of Shades, a title she bears, as the words echoed through her hair. One of 12 she would be, a pact among her spree. New name Luxor, Luxor Castonbury, the demon echoed, just like me. Anyone who could read the words would share their soul with this occurred. A demon that spewed forth foul words. Written in the book, it forged pacts with mortals who had entered through one of its portals. Those with this power could be as gods, but their pride would usually require little prods. He hated them all, but not her. Nightshade was different, unusual, undeterred. When the 12 would reunite, there would be no more days left, only nights. As they gave in for endless fights. Thirteen lie bound in eternity. When the 12 came, they were freed. Lives were chained, pacts were made, the world would never be the same. A prophecy from Ormorod and Amaran, gods of harvest and famine. The old man sits, supported by a stool. He comes to me and says, "Boy, are you a fool? Or are you the ace? Supported by this." He ponders my disgrace. Calls me the wild card. Says I will be up his sleeve. To all his enemies, I know he did deceive. Knowing of my power, he kept me inside. Locked in the tower. Tormentors they called us as we trained and trained. We were to kill the mutant scum for which he always disdained. That is what we believed, but it was not the truth. In fact, this was a mere parody, something of a spoof. He put on this play, an act for the ages, keeping all the mutants locked in cages. Some rebelled, but were put down, you see, with the tormentors' weaponry. Self-regenerating armor, super strength in the sleeves. Great weapons, of which we could not perceive. Were we to freeze them, they would heat up. Were we to burn them, they would cool down. All of this he created, without a frown, to hide his two boys of unprecedented power. For when the Ascendants came, them he would shower. Pacts with the Unbound that they had made, and the world would soon be dismayed.